News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 22nd of February, Anno Domini 2009, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you a shortened edition of Soundbites. We're on for a full half hour with no commercial interruption, so we should get
get them in now, because you only got the 25 minutes.
We've only got that half an hour. Before we get to the phones, however, let's talk about this week's poll. Every week, as you know, we do a poll on the show. This week's poll is about some new Adobe vulnerabilities. Hackers have once again turned to PDF files to spread their wares, this time assaulting a zero-day flaw affecting Adobe Reader and Acrobat. Fortunately, the unpatched bug is on the company's radar, and fixes for Adobe Reader 9 and Acrobat 9 are slated to be available March 11th. Updates for earlier versions will come later. The bug is due to an error in the parsing of certain structures in PDF files. If exploited successfully, the bug could allow a hacker to take complete control of a vulnerable system. In parsing a specially crafted embedded object, a bug in the reader allows the attacker to overwrite memory at an arbitrary location. The attacks, which are found in the field, use the infamous heap spray method via JavaScript. While the distribution thus far appears to be targeted, new variants are expected as more information is made public. As with the Conficker experience, the lack of good patch management is a very worrying trend that deserves more attention from IT security practitioners. Adobe is expected to release a patch very soon. Customers are advised to follow best practices and don't do anything if you get an email or whatever. Don't open PDFs for a while.
Well, don't open them with Acrobat if you use a different PDF reader. Should be okay.
Linux people generally don't use Acrobat Reader. Mac people can not use Acrobat Reader.
Apple's preview that comes with the Mac opens PDFs just fine.
Well, we don't know if they're vulnerable.
The reports I've read said Preview is not vulnerable.
Okay, there you go then.
But until someone says it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Why don't you try it out, Steve?
Yeah. So the poll is about the new Adobe vulnerabilities. And the choices are, will make me wary of downloading PDFs, probably won't make me hesitate at all, I'll pretend my Mac is not vulnerable, I'll awk every file first, go in commando, baby, and OMG, I'm disconnecting from the net. So far, we've got 73 votes, 32% of you. It will make you wary of downloading PDFs, and 26% of you won't hesitate at all. So there's a mixed bag. Now, we know that when you're done answering the poll, you have more to say. So if you look at the little yellow box underneath and click on Give Us Your Opinion, it will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Thank you. And you'll be able to enter an opinion up to 256 characters. So far, 9 people have done so. While you're there, check it out. Newsletter. I publish a newsletter, and you can search the old newsletter, the tips and tricks, the rants and raves, the questions and answers. It's worth $15 a year, I think.
Yes.
It might even be worth more, but I think it's certainly worth that.
It's a good deal.
So, all right, do that, and we're going to go, I think, right now to the phones. And our first caller is Bill from Bushnell's Basin. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Listen, I've got 3 questions about installing a RAID 1 configuration. My motherboard is capable of supporting it, and I've got 2 hard drives that are equal size from the same manufacturer that I want to install. And I've got a backup that I made with Ghost. And my understanding is that once I install this and get the hard drives configured using the BIOS stuff, that I should be ready to go with the reinstall of the logical drives, the C drive and the D drive.
Right.
And then I don't expect any problems with that. I hope it'll go all right. I don't know if I should
insist. We never expect problems.
Yeah, but I believe, though, if you go ahead, establish the RAID.
Yeah.
You know, on the bad drives, and then you do a
bear
ghost.
Drives.
Yeah, the bear drives. And then you go ahead and do a ghost restore.
Should be
good.
It should be good. Okay, then 2 other related questions. Under a RAID 1 configuration, one drive mirrors the other one and will back it up in case one of them fails. I was wondering, how do you never know when one of them fails?
Well, first of all, it's not a backup. It's a mirror.
It's a mirror.
If you delete a file from one, it gets deleted from the other.
Right.
So it is not a backup.
Right. I understand that.
And as far as a notice, usually there's a setting that if there's a bad sector or it's having an issue with any data or, you know, lost cluster of that, it will usually throw you up a warning.
Yeah, usually whatever software you use to create the RAID has a warning flag that will pop up to tell you when there's a RAID failure.
Yeah, there's any inconsistencies.
All right, and I don't suppose there's any way you can be absolutely sure that the information is being mirrored on the second drive because it's invisible to the operating system.
Right. Correct.
Which is usually you go back again to the RAID software controlling the RAID. And then there's two types of RAID. There's hardware RAID and software RAID. But in both cases, there's software controlling the RAID that should tell you the integrity of the RAID.
Okay. Well, this is hardware RAID.
Yeah.
So that's
there still should be a software driver somewhere that can hook into that and give you diagnostics.
Okay. All right. Very good.
So that should have come with your motherboard.
Okay. Yeah, I think it did. I haven't gotten that far yet. But
there's also an external box called the Drobo, which is pretty cool. It's a magic RAID box. It has four bays in it, and you can use unequal drive sizes.
Mm-hmm.
And if any one if any one drive fails, all your data is still intact. So as you start filling your Drobo up, you pull out the smallest drive, stick in a bigger drive, and you magically have more space.
That's RAID 5.
That's nice.
Well, it's sort of RAID 5, but
it can use unequal drive sizes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically you get the maximum capacity of all four drives minus the largest drive.
Okay.
Because if the largest drive fails, it has parity.
Yeah. Right.
So it's pretty cool.
Okay. All right.
All righty.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Our next caller is David from Farmington, New York. Welcome, David. What's your question?
Yes. Hello. How are you guys today?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. I have the Frontier DSL, and I downloaded the CA security system that they have available.
Yeah. Yep.
Number one, it slowed down the computer like half of the speed.
Yeah. Yep.
The second thing is it comes up with these questions about do I want to accept this,
right.
You know, this cookie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's driving me out of my mind.
Well, that's what you have to do to be secure.
Well, the speed issue, you don't have to live with.
Right.
The reality is that there are other programs that are also free. If you go to the Security Tango at securitytango.com, we have a lot of them there.
There's also
a good I'm sorry, go ahead.
There's also other programs that are equally as slow.
Yes. There are, yes. Norton and McAfee come to mind. But if you use, for example, Avast as your antivirus software and then regularly dance the Tango, you're as clean as you're going to get. Having those questions is not a bad idea at all. The reality is that when you go somewhere, it's better to not be trusting, and that's what those questions make. They make you think.
So if
thinking is not a bad idea when you're on the internet.
Yeah, if a bad program pops up and wants to do something, you want to be told that to
absolutely.
Make it stop. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I guess that's an annoyance, but I can live with it.
Yeah. To keep yourself protected.
Right, the speed is the problem. And you want to download Avast for your antivirus and then unload the GA suite and the CA suite and go with Avast. The real problem is that the CA Security Suite, as so many others do, adds an amazing amount of additional stuff that you really don't need.
Throw in malware bytes and super anti-spyware.
Okay.
And you should be good.
And run those regularly yourself. Okie doke.
That was great. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Thanks.
Have a good day.
You too.
Our next caller is Dan from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
I converted went over to Firefox instead of IE. And but
good for you.
I know. Well, it's a whole lot better.
Welcome from the dark side.
The only problem I have is it always brings up MSN is my homepage.
Right.
MSN.com. And it always has this live search thing in there.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I start typing in my URL, I get the first few letters in, and then it goes down to the live search thing. How do I get rid of that live search box?
Change your homepage.
Yeah, don't go to MSN.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's a feature of MSN, and Firefox has no control over that.
So what you got to do is if you go into Internet Options, and you can change your homepage.
Right.
And
okay.
Change the default webpage other than MSN.
Okay, because I noticed...
Change it to, sound bites.
Yep.
Or perhaps even Google.
Or Ask Nick.
There you go, Ask Nick.
Security Tango.
That's Ask Nick.
Live.com. I mean, there's a few good ones that you could try, and you won't get that live search. Guaranteed.
Okay. Okay.
Many people nowadays are making iGoogle their homepage.
Yeah.
You sign up, and you just is all free, of course, and then you can add news items and all the widgets they have for cartoons and everything else, plus you have Google at your disposal.
Yeah, I've had that for years.
You may have also installed the Microsoft. Does Microsoft have a toolbar for Firefox? I know there's several different toolbars you can load besides the Firefox default toolbar.
Right. Think of that question for a second. Does Microsoft have a tool for Firefox?
I believe they do.
I believe they do.
Do they really?
Another good one, too, that I use is Excite, excite.com. Like Nick said, you can add the weather to it and different news tips.
Yahoo does it, too.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them out there other than MSN. But like everybody else gets hooked into thinking, again, I had another customer that swore up and down that they had to use IE. It was going to void their warranty. I would like to grab this technician that is out there giving out this crap that you have to use Internet Explorer. No!
Yep.
Well
now,
done, Alex.
There is, short rant. Yeah, there is a live search plugin for Firefox that will change your search parameters inside of Firefox to use live search. So check through your plugin list, and maybe you had that installed in IE, and when Firefox loaded, it just copied them over.
Right. If you go into your tools and add-ons, you should be able to see that, and if you see it, you can uninstall it.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Thanks a lot, guys.
You're welcome.
Short show, short rant.
Our next caller is Carl from Albion, New York. Carl, how are you?
Good.
What's up?
Well, I'm having trouble. I can't install the SP3 pack. I have Windows. I got the SP2. I download it, and it almost installs it, and then it says, cannot finish installation and deletes everything.
Does it say why?
It says something about, it's almost done. It says, will not recognize, I'm not sure this really says it.
Unfortunately, Carl, the reason they have error messages is so that you can do a little bit of diagnostics. There could be 1,000 reasons why it can't finish. Unfortunately, without knowing the reason, we can't help you correct it.
The most common reason is an incompatibility with speaking with the software you already have in your computer, and that error message may be telling you what
or
it can't
something
work
else
with.
Running in the system tray.
Right.
That it's
right.
having
but
issues.
Without knowing
with.
What that is, and now without knowing what the error message says, I'm afraid there's not much we can do to help you, Carl.
Well, it just said it cannot finish it. I forgot to look at the message.
So. Yeah. Run it again. Write down the error message and either put it up on the soundbites board or call us back next week and we'll see what we can do. But I'm sorry. Without knowing that error message, there's 50 things it could be.
Is it important to have that?
It's not a bad idea, although I know a lot of people have simply ignored it.
Yeah. At the current time, Microsoft is still putting out updates for SP2. Eventually, they'll stop, and you'll have to have SP3.
By then, Windows 7 will be out.
Right. When I suspect that Microsoft will continue to support Service Pack 2 until they kill XP
entirely. Carl, one other thing you can do is if you go back to do the updates, instead of doing the automatic, do the custom. And in the custom, it will allow you, then you can just go through the ones that you want and just try installing just any of the security issues. It might be trying to put in .NET. It might be trying to put in the Flash Player and all this other stuff that it might be running into issues. But if you do a custom and select only the service security issues, you put checkboxes in just those, going down the list, you're going to be okay. Your machine is still going to be protected. Try it that way, and that might be a workaround for the issue that you're having.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Alrighty. Thanks. Okay. Thanks, Carl.
The Windows Media Player.
Yeah, Windows Media Player 11 you may not need.
It might be causing conflict. Who else knows what other media players he has on there? Oh, like Real Player and a number of the others. That just could be causing issues.
All right, our next caller is Tom from Marksville, New York. Where's Marksville, Tom?
It's Cayuga County up near Oswego.
Ah, snow country.
Right.
Yes.
So you're stuck in there for at least another 2 months before you can actually find your way out the front door.
Well, we're just hoping that summer comes on weekend this year.
Yeah.
My brother always describes summer in Rochester as just 2 bad weeks of ice fishing.
So what's your problem, Tom?
Well, I got an Ubuntu for Dummies.
Sure.
It came with a CD, and I put it in and followed all the bouncing balls, got everything going. I got online, and I went to update the packages, and everything freezes up. The screen shows something's coming in and going out.
It should.
But nothing's happening. And so I tried downloading an updated Firefox. The one that came with it was 1 point something or other. So I tried to get the updated one, and I got to 24%, and it just stops.
Okay, hold on a second. Apparently, you've got a version of Ubuntu that was originally chiseled in stone. Ubuntu's up to 8.10, which
has all the latest?
And has all the latest of everything, yeah. And is certainly fast and convenient. So here's my suggestion. Yeah. If you have some other machine you can use, go to Ubuntu.com, or a friend with a fast connection, go to Ubuntu.com, download the latest version, which is 8.10.
How big is it? Can I put it on a thumb drive?
If you've got a 1 gig thumb drive, you can, sure, but...
But you'll need to put it on a CD eventually.
You should just put it on a CD, burn a CD.
Okay.
And once you've burned the CD, boot with that CD.
And load it.
Yeah, actually burn it to CD. Don't just copy the ISO over. You got to burn it to the CD.
Okay.
And once you've done that, you should be able to boot with it. And once you boot with it, you'll be able to install the very latest version, which has much better driver sets for everything, for wireless and for wired and for video and for sound and for everything. You sound like you're running Ubuntu maybe...
Dapper Drake, it sounds like.
Yeah, if that, 7?
606.
606,
yeah,
maybe?
I don't know. I got it in the dollar book.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Right. It's probably 3 or 4 years old. And not that there's anything, you know, wrong with getting the book there. You just can't use that software because it is so very, very out of date. It's like buying a book on Windows for Dummies and getting ME. And then saying, well, it's not working right. Well, right, it's an old version.
Windows 3, where's the program manager?
Yeah, right. So the book is probably still fine because many of those things will be at least similar, if not exact. Certainly the screenshots will be different.
You didn't waste your money from the dollar store.
No, you didn't waste your money on the book, but you really shouldn't be
using
that CD.
And yelling if I can do a price check.
Yeah.
By the way, that...
How much is this again?
Yeah.
That download is free.
Yeah, and the download is free. Ubuntu is free.
Right.
So you can do it or you can get it from a friend, just have somebody burn the ISO to the CD as an actual program, you should be on your way.
You can also request a free CD from Ubuntu itself.
It takes several weeks to come.
I got more. Because what I did is when I had my computer built, I took my old hard drive and I kept it, and I put it as like an E drive. But now that Ubuntu's on there, Microsoft on the C drive doesn't recognize it.
No, it wouldn't. It
right,
won't.
Right.
And when I put this new CD in, what's going to happen? Is it going to recognize it?
Well, it's going to recognize the C drive.
Yeah, Windows will never recognize your Linux disk.
Okay.
Right, right.
So how do I get it to go back onto the E drive, the new program?
Well, if you want... Wait.
When you install the new Ubuntu disk, it will ask you which drive to put it on, and you tell it to go on to the drive you want.
Okay.
But right. It's going to ask you in terms of Unix, not in terms of Windows. It's not going to ask you drive C, D, E, or F.
Right. It's going to show you what drives are out there.
Yeah, it'll be drive 0, drive 1, right?
So should I try
SDA 1 or SDA 2?
Yeah. You may want to disconnect your Windows disk when you're installing Unix, just to be safe. So
that's
you don't
the
pick,
safest thing to do.
Yeah, you don't want to pick the Windows disk and erase it.
Just load Ubuntu over Windows.
Yeah.
That's my recommendation.
I'm trying this, but my wife is saying no way.
Now, I understand. So that's why Ubuntu lets you change these things.
Wait a minute.
You can also use Wubi.
What are we thinking here?
Wubi, which allows you to create an Ubuntu disk as a folder on your Windows machine. And then you open up that folder and double-click, and it puts you into Linux. And then when you quit Linux, you're right back in Windows again.
Okay, so should I be able to find all this stuff on Ubuntu.com?
The Wubi file
it comes on the ISO.
Oh. Right, right. Or you can just go to wubi-installer.org. Steve will have that up on our website in a moment. wubi-installer.org. It's an officially supported Ubuntu installer for Windows and puts it right on your Windows as a folder under Windows, and it works great. Okay. And it's version 8.10, which is the latest, and it'll update to all the latest other latest versions.
And you'll be very happy with it.
All you need is 5 gigabytes of disk space free, and you're on your way.
Ubuntu seems pretty similar to Windows. I mean, the interface is a little different. The taskbar is on the top instead of the bottom. And
right.
All
right.
Operating systems have to do similar things, so
yeah,
that's why.
There's no magic in Windows. They all do the same thing. They do them all a little differently. We got to move on to another call here.
Okay.
Thanks. Our next caller is John from Rochester, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Well, I've got DSL, and I've had them out to check it. I don't have enough bars. I lose my bars when I go out in the back porch or other parts of the house. I really just have it in the office.
Okay. What?
Lost him.
Is there a way to boost that signal so I don't lose it on the porch?
Buy an antenna booster for your wireless router.
Move the wireless router toward the back of the house.
Yeah, if you can
get a second wireless router to retransmit the signal.
Right. There are boosters and there are relays. Depending on what you're using, if you've got the one from Frontier, I don't know how you boost that one.
But, yeah, you'd have to know what brand.
What
yeah,
you
if it's
can
a Siemens router,
is,
you get a Siemens booster.
For example, what I did was I traded in my wireless router for a regular router from DSL. Then I went out and bought the Netgear Range Max router, which is just blasting things around my neighborhood now. And I live in an old house. You know, there's chicken wire in the walls. My house is a Faraday cage. Mm-hmm. I can still get a great signal everywhere I want to get it.
Even
so
that front library room you never could?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy now. So that might be your best bet at that point.
All right, so a Range Max router, and I can get that at any big box?
Yeah, pretty much anybody that sells whatever they sell. So, like I said, you might want to, at that point, trade in your wireless DSL for a regular DSL router so you don't have two signals going out there, or just turn the wireless off in the DSL router, and then add this other thing, and you're on your way.
All right, great. Thank you.
All righty. Well, unfortunately, that's it. We are on a short show this week. Syracuse football is on its way. We'd hate to get Syracuse football. No, Syracuse basketball. I'm apparently living in the past or the future. This time it's basketball. We would hate to get in the way of that, so we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the mighty Alex Vanderweel. I do want to thank the folks at Wham who gave us this half hour. They didn't have to, and they did, and we're very, very appreciative. This half hour that was entirely unencumbered by the commercial process. We did a full half hour without commercials. Want to thank the folks at Wham for giving us that. It was very, very generous of them. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 29 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.